Welcome to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by IVS Investment Banking. IVS Investment Banking delivers premium financial transaction services to assist industrial business owners, primarily in the downstream sector. Visit IVSinvestmentbanking.com to learn more.
All right. Well, howdy, everyone. This is Kyle with the Quality Matters podcast, and I am without Darcy again for another week. Although since this week we're doing this all on camera, I don't think she's all that upset about it. But we've got another guest this week. So we have Jeremy with the BIC Alliance. And y'all do a lot of stuff that I had no idea was even a thing. I thought y'all just put out the monthly magazine. Sure. So there's a lot more that you guys do. So looking forward to talking with you and kind of learn a little bit more about you and how y'all got into doing all of this.
Hey, thanks, Kyle, for having me. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, all I know about BIC is that it's you put out the monthly magazines. All I knew before. So just kind of give us a little briefly, like what it is you guys do.
Right. Yeah. So in short, you know, BIC Alliance founded about 37 years ago, operations in Louisiana and here in Texas. So BIC Alliance's whole goal is to connect business and industry for the betterment of all. Right. So gotcha. What does that mean? There's sort of three ways we do that. We call it the BIC Triangle. So the magazine, you know, marketing, new media, we'll dig into that a little bit more. Recruiting, you know, finding the right people for your business.
Right.
And then the third leg of our triangle is actually sell side M&A. So as we built relationships with like industrial owners throughout our history, those relationships led to an opportunity to maybe sell their business or do some sort of equity transaction. The word sell can mean a lot, right?
Right.
And so basically, in short on that, you know, basically we work with industrial contractors, you know, people performing industrial services, primarily on the Gulf Coast, Kyle, but man, all over the country, really, right? So that's really our sort of three primary focus for our organization.
Okay. Well, that's, like I said, it's somewhat new to me. I hadn't known a whole lot about you guys for a while. And I wound up meeting Tom at one of these get-togethers, and he's like, "Hey, we're having a crawfish bowl." And, you know, that sold me. Nice. But since I really have fun kind of learning more about what it is you guys do, so what's your role here?
Yeah. So I'm president of the company and COO. My partner is Thomas Brinsko. He's the CEO of the company. Thomas is the son-in-law of our founder, Mr. Earl Hurd.
So
Earl's kind of legend in the business. Wrote a lot of books on sales and marketing training. He was a fire and safety training coordinator. That's kind of how BIC started. Earl was basically doing some videos back in the 80s, right, on fire and safety training for all the plants.
Yeah.
And the video business struggled. He was tough to keep up with the technology, right, and all the equipment, right? And you know how that is, right,
Just Kyle? A little bit.
Right. Just so a little bit. He would put out a flyer that would announce what his business was doing, like what videos were coming up next, right? Mm-hmm. But what became popular was folks were contacting him saying, "Earl, I'm seeing in your flyer. I want to advertise in your promotional flyer that you're sending to plant managers, safety coordinators." That's how BIC was born. So the publication was birthed from actually a video business.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. That's kind of a backwards way that you would expect things to go, but it's kind of cool. It makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Kind of coming full circle now, because now we're doing podcasts and videos and webinars and all the new media. So
what do y'all have going on in that space right now?
Yeah. Well, look, the biggest thing right now for all the plants, right, all these contractors trying to work inside these facilities is the Delta variant last couple of weeks, right? Yeah. A lot of confusion and a lot of challenges, and I would say inconsistency and in how they're treating contractors, right, coming into the sites, right? So I heard this week, even stars and physical identifiers for whether or not you have been vaccinated. So there's been a lot of people trying to figure out and navigate how all this works, right? I
mean,
yesterday I heard another client say they had 53 folks on a bus being bussed in for a project, and two people got the Delta variant, right? Well, got COVID, right? So all 53 had to quarantine for 10 days.
Gosh.
You're trying to do a 6-month, 1-year project. That's going to set you back, right?
Oh, so, yeah.
So I think folks are just trying to navigate that. We're seeing like European owned companies having maybe a little bit stricter rules on the field personnel. Yeah. For the most part, though, they're doing a pretty good job of managing, man, keeping distance, that sort of thing. So the biggest topic right now is sort of COVID and how that impacts the whole industrial contractor market.
Yep. We were just talking about that on the last two podcast episodes. Is there's no shortage of ways to handle it. But yeah, I just say folks go check out those episodes. We can talk about that more some other time.
And Kyle, too, bigger picture, you know, I think for the industry, just with the Biden administration and where are we headed with renewables, right? All these crude to renewable waste fuels conversions we're seeing, you know, how much of that is going to, how impactful is that going to be? And then for our clients, it's like, what is the opportunity there, right? I think people are still trying to figure out. There's been a lot of talk of hydrogen, you know, what that means to the industry. And so, you know, that sort of decarbonization goal, right, that we have, 2050 goal is going to influence things. And how much is just going to stay the same in the sense of, look, whether you go to EVs or whether that market develops as planned, you're still going to need petrochemicals, right?
Yes.
So a lot of this market, what we do, a lot of our contractors are working in the petrochemical side of things. So.
Yep. Well, you know, it's interesting. We've started doing some work with Texas Quality Assurance with renewable construction companies, or the folks maybe making the hydraulic fluids for the turbines. And it's a bunch of oil and gas guys still doing the work out there. Right. It's still the same kind of mentality, same folks doing the work. But yeah, it's really interesting to see how things are changing and adapting. And I guess we'll find out what's for good and what's for bad one way or the other.
Yeah, one thing cool, kind of interesting, you mentioned that a lot of the same contractors doing the kind of the construction side of things. What I have heard, I interviewed P66 Rodeo out near San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And interesting thing that the gentleman that's running the project said over there is that he used a food and beverage engineering firm.
Interesting.
To produce. I thought that was kind of interesting. So, you know, I would just say that, you know, if you're a contractor out there, keep that in mind. Some of the typical engineering firms may not be used on some of this, you know, conversion projects.
Interesting. Yeah. That's a fun idea. Yeah. That's a fun idea. Well, you had, you know, a couple of stories here that you said that you like to tell at the end of some of the interviews and so forth. So I guess let's kind of segue and jump into that here.
Yeah. So, Kyle, I was just thinking about, appreciate you having me on, and I was thinking about how did I personally get here, right?
Yeah.
And I really just went back to my family, right? So, my grandfather is a 50-year Exxon guy. I'm from Baton Rouge. That's where that's where he was at. Yeah, good old Red Stick. Go Tigers. Go Tigers. How many times can I say that? Yeah. But my grandfather was in Exxon for 50 years, and a pretty cool story. After the war, World War II, he was about 6'3", pretty tall dude. Ooh. And you know, back then, man, the HR process was a little bit different now, and they just basically put an ad in the paper and said, hey, all men, we're trying to expand this facility, build this plant, basically you need to come out here and you know, let's get some crews going, right? So my grandfather went out there with some buddies, and he got there late. And so he true story, he you know, they're basically with a big megaphone just calling out guys like you, and that was the interview process. You know, I mean, just moving pipe and moving metal, right? You know, and so he stands on a brick to make him look like he's 6'5" or 6'6". And this true story, the hiring manager, I say that loosely, because I said, hey, you in the back, man, like, you know, come up, you look huge, right?
Right.
That's how I got the job.
That's awesome.
Isn't it great? So, but what I didn't know is, and now I realize, my grandfather was a real marketing genius, right? So, his name was James Davis, and his nickname was Biscuit, right? So the idea behind Biscuit was, for job security, he would waste a 50-year career, man. This is how you keep a 50-year job. Everybody listen close, right? he would bake biscuits in the morning at like 4 a.m. before the plant manager and his supervisors got to work. So when they got to work, there was a wax paper with a hot biscuit on top. Look, no one's firing the biscuit guy, Kyle.
That's awesome.
Right? So look, man, that kind of plays into what we do, right? You got to find your biscuit. And what does that mean, right? You know, you talk about quality, right? So how are you producing a quality marketing message? How are you identifying how you separate yourself from your competitors, right? That's what we do at BIC every day and help our contractor clients achieve that, right? So,
Oh, that's fascinating.
It goes beyond that too, Kyle. I was thinking about my dad, right? So my father worked for Dow Chemical for like 49 years, right?
Oh, wow.
And he
that just
had,
doesn't happen these days anymore.
Oh, no, man. Like, you know, he always joked, like, you're going to leave your job in 4 years. You know what I mean? It's like, he just, So, you know, dad, he, Sid is his name. Sid worked for 49 years at Dow. He was, his passion was actually art. He was a freehand artist, like drawing.
Oh, very cool.
So, look, the plant wanted to save some money on safety stickers and various other, you know, programs. He would draw annual report images. If people were retiring, he would draw caricatures of them, right?
Oh, like, very like cool.
Well, no one's firing the caricature guy because when you retire, you know, when you retire, you want your caricature, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he put like little things around the image, like if they like fishing, he would draw a fishing boat, right? You know, a little
something. That's
like,
really cool.
Yeah. And, that's really cool. Yeah, it is cool. So, like, I remember being a kid and, you know, I don't think he's getting paid for it. You know, he just did job security, man. He would just kind of draw his caricatures and it was fun. It was a passion for him, right?
But, I like it.
Anyway, man, so it's funny. I just thought about my entire family in this industry, not only the history of it, but also they were all marketing guys when you really think about it.
Interesting. Interesting stuff. You know, I tell you, that's the sales marketing side of it is where, you know, I struggle the most. But, you know, that's what led us to doing the podcast, actually. Mm-hmm. Is I am not the natural sales guy. I can get out there. I can do the work. I can do the trainings. I can work with the folks and have a field day. But setting up that initial conversation, getting that relationship started, that's tough. Yeah. But that's what we found the podcast is really awesome for, is it gives us a chance to just sit here, talk about stuff that we do, talk about what we love, and hopefully it resonates with someone. And I got to say, I'm kind of shocked how many people quality management resonates with.
Yeah. When did you found the company, Kyle? Give me the quick history.
Yeah. So it started out in 2013 because I was offered a chance to rebuild a software that I built for myself at the company I was working at. And so I built the server on my dining room table and went and deployed it a month later. But the whole software that we got involved in to begin with, it's just because I was overworked.
Yeah,
I was working 70, 80 plus hours a week, and that's, you know, every waking hour, basically. And so I developed the software to save myself time, got down to a 50, 60 hour a week. That's great. Someone else, like I say, someone else saw it and was like, hey, could you do that for someone, for a client of mine? So no, I have to rebuild it all from scratch, but sure. And so 3 years later, I quit my job and been doing this full time since then.
I love it. You took the leap.
Oh, yeah. So we do everything now from consultation, auditing, software training, you name it. It's there.
How cool. So mostly downstream or upstream? What kind of or all across different manufacturing?
Really all across. I mean, because we're here in Houston, so 50% of our clients are in the oil and gas world somewhere along the way. But we really focus mostly on small business. So if you're like 200 to 200 employees, you got a welder, a machinist, something like that, we're at home. We're going to field day with you.
Oh, how neat.
So it's it's just all built to be as simple, easy to use as possible. Because let's face it, the quality management, this stuff can get so complex, so stinking fast. Right. All of these standards and specifications, it can drive you up the wall trying to keep up with everything.
Sure.
So we just try to make it as simple as and easy as we can. I joke and tell people the ISO standards or API is the same thing, is they are effectively common sense written by a lawyer.
Okay, got it. Yeah. How cool.
So, but yeah, that's the world we're in. But we got started with the podcast. It's a funny story because I was getting lunch with Mark LeCour from OGGN. Mm-hmm. That was on one of his early podcasts. And so we got to know each other for a long time. And so I was at lunch and Darcy came with us and I was asking him about, how'd you get started with the podcast? I kind of like it because give me a chance to talk about what I do, talk about what I love, but I don't feel pressured to be the sales guy. They don't feel like they're being pressured by a sales guy.
Right. Yeah.
And so Darcy, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but Darcy chimed in and was like, I don't want no part of that. And Mark looked at her and pointed and he's like, yes, you should do it. And cool. So she is typically the host of the podcast and kind of reins me in if I get a little too geeky.
So she's A and you're B? Is that what I'm hearing there?
Yes.
Kyle? All right.
So she is the boss lady. She runs the things around here.
That's awesome.
But so tell me about some of these other kind of, you know, you talk about doing podcasts and digital marketing and stuff. Like, what else are you guys putting together right now?
Yeah, look, you know, I think it's demanding right now, right? So our industry is kind of interesting. We do surveys on how people in our industry, mostly downstream refining, petrochemical to kind of classify us, right? We touch a little bit in midstream as well, your tanks, terminals, tanks, right, pipeline. Think of it like anything that touches a plant and go out one degree, that's kind of where BIC's world is, right?
Okay.
So in our audience is like, you know, plant management, operations, engineering, safety, procurement. We try and hit about, you know, 10 or so job functions, right, at every single site across the country. But, you know, about 60% of the entire market is between Corpus Christi and Mobile. So that's where we play the most, right?
Yep.
But the challenge now is just how everybody consumes information so differently, right? I mean, mobile, phones, tablets, PC, and then the print magazine. You got to understand a lot of decision makers in our industry are, you know, I'm just going to take a guess here, somewhere around 59, 60 years old, right? So that print publication is still by far our most value product, right? We do surveys every 4 years and people still consume a lot of data through that print publication, right? But there's certainly a transition and the idea of the mobile side of this. I mean, you can do a podcast. I listen to them in my car, right? Even our own webinars, I will listen to like in a car just as an audio file, right? I'm not like driving with the screen. But, you know, so the biggest challenge for us right now is just trying to satisfy. You know, that audience that wants their media in a variety of different ways, right? And sticking up, hanging in with that evolution is certainly a challenge for all publishers.
Well, you hear the phrase, you know, you got to adapt to change all the time. But it's like, okay, that's just, it's just something you say. Like, what the heck does that actually look like? Well, from both sides here, this is an example of what that looks like. It is. You know, you got to try something, get the same idea, the same message, the same value of what you do, but you got to find a new way to get it out there. I mean, you know, I talk to folks about that in the trainings we put on pretty frequently. As I'm like, look, the same message you have, depending on how it's delivered, who it's delivered, and who even delivers it, it's going to resonate completely differently with folks. And you've got to be willing to change and do things differently. You know, we went into one, this is a great example, but we went into a facility recently, and I'm thumbing through their safety manual. And so it said that if you had some sort of a safety violation, you were required to wear a pink shirt the next day. Wow. And I'm like, that stuff just shouldn't happen anymore.
Man,
it's like, I don't get me wrong.
It's like the shame. It's like the shame shirt.
I'm like, we got to change things. You got to do it a little differently.
Yeah.
There's just so much room for the audio video stuff. And like you said, listening to it in the car, like, my gosh, that's where I could listen to 3/4 of this stuff. If I'm driving, oh man, I'm turning on a podcast or a book.
You know, it depends on the car. I got my kids with me. I can't listen to the adult stuff.
Yeah, Joe Rogan doesn't work out too well.
In the car. A few too many F-bombs for him. Earmuffs, kids. Earmuffs. Yeah.
But yeah, that's why we keep these at 20 minutes, because it's about the time you can get in, you drive, you get to the office, and then we're done by then.
Yeah, man.
We've had folks try to pressure us. I'd say pressure, but strongly suggest that we go to a longer format, get more detailed, more involved. I'm like,
you and Darcy show, man, do what you want.
Yeah. So what else do you guys got going on right now?
You know, our big focus, I think, for our clients going forward is you know, trying to be a resource, man. You know, our whole goal is just to be a connection, right? So BIC is business and industry connection. So our whole mantra is, hey, if you're trying to work in this space, How do we connect you with decision makers? So networking, events, right? Now, some of that's virtual right now, right? We just did a big virtual roundtable, kind of in your world, you know, had some maintenance directors on the show from different plants, right? Just talking about, hey, what's up with their site? You know, this whole term maintenance 4.0 is also a little bit cliche, but I think the digitalization of our industry is something that, you know, for the most part is happening. However, a majority of what we do is very physical and extremely manual, right? And when you get down to it. So just kind of navigating our clients, I think, through that is something that's a priority for us. And for BIC itself, you know, we're just trying to expand our client relationships, right? I mean, it's all about our people. Look, it starts with the BIC people. Our team's just amazing. We've got a lot of staff members over 15 years at our company.
Fantastic.
We've got incredible digital team that's really, really sort of evolved here just in the last 5 or 6 years, right? And so for us, that's going to be the path we're going to focus on in the future.
So if folks want to, to know how to contact you guys, if they want to work with you. And so what are some, I guess, key things you can do to support some of these, you know, folks in the industry out there? How do they get in contact with you? How do they learn about you?
Yeah, pretty easy, man. BICmagazine.com is our primary website where you can consume BIC top news, information, our podcast, our webinars. Gives you a real good feel for our audiences.
Okay.
BICalliance.com is our parent site. From there, you can see our other three companies, right? The BIC Magazine, our recruiting services, and IVS Investment Banking, right?
Okay.
And I would just say for anyone who's like interested in a role, right, a position in the industry, go to our BICrecruiting.com.
I think that's fantastic, especially right now with the job market. So, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just bonkers and odd.
Yeah, odd is a great word, Kyle. Absolutely. You know, and I think that recruiting this year, we'll probably have our biggest year ever. We're on pace for that. Fingers crossed, right? But what does that mean? I hope that means positive things for the industry, right? People feeling more comfortable, right? Maybe heading into late this year, early 2022, right? So that's the biggest thing for me that is sort of triggering, is that I thought that, hey, the mood is getting more positive, right?
Yep. And then whenever they find this new role, new position they're in, they either need to learn to draw very well or learn to cook biscuits.
That's right. Hey, man, look, find your biscuit. That's the entire goal here.
Awesome. Well, hey, I don't think I've got anything else. I think this is fun. Like I say, it's been great getting to know you guys, because again, I had no idea everything that you did and really how deeply you work within the industry and the amount of good that you can do for folks. So, hey, look, check these guys out. If you need some help with getting some of these strategic partnerships in place, you need to find the right folks to bring on board. Check it out.
Hey, Kyle, thanks for having us, man. Love coming back home whenever we want to get together again.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thanks, man. Take it easy.
Thank you for listening to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable. Log on to BICmagazine.com for industry news and resources. Industry Roundtable is brought to you by IVS Investment Banking. IVS Investment Banking delivers premium financial transaction services to assist industrial business owners, primarily in the downstream sector. Visit IVSinvestmentbanking.com to learn more.